You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. And today is live. This is the first time we've ever done this.
I know.
It's a bit exciting. What they can't see is all the faces that we can see on the screen right here. You can't hear them yet, but you will get to hear them. But we're just we're excited to try something new and to have a new spin on our Q&A time like never before. It is definitely something that you've been asking for.
Yeah, we thought we'd go to technology and have people Zoom in. We sent out an email inviting everybody to these. We'll be doing this for a little while. So if you have questions and you want them answered in real time, just jump on here with us and we will get to you as fast as we possibly can.
Yep. So we're really thankful for all of you that have joined us live. And again, we've talked through it. So as soon as you got your questions, raise your digital hand. And that's how we get going.
That's but it. Yep.
I think our heart for all of this is really just to be as close to our audience as possible, to get in there, to see your faces a bit closer, to hear you and to dialogue in a different way than just good old speak pipe. Though we love it.
Yeah.
We love actually feeling like we're talking to you in person all the more. So it's great. You ready to jump in?
I'm ready.
Okay. So the first question we have comes to us from Jim.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Okay. Hi. So good to be here and experience this. And of course, I'm well aware of the material, Danny, that you do and benefited greatly from your teachings and your perspective. So I just want to let you know, I appreciate that very much.
Hi,
my
Jim.
Question is, what can you do if there's a sensitive issue in a marriage relationship and fear is stopping one of the individuals to work through the issue? The issue is creating a block for the couple from having a healthy connection.
Well, fear is generally the culprit, right? It brings out the worst in us. So can you just maybe be a little more specific about what the fear is connected to? As is it related to past experiences with you? Is it related to past experiences in general? Can you kind of help me see what it's connected to?
Yeah, it's a past experience with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
prior relationship. But it's affecting the current relationship in terms of the physical relationship.
Is there any acknowledgement on their part as to this is my problem to solve, or is this more of a this is just how I am and you're going to have to deal with it?
I have to say that there's a little bit of both. There's some acknowledgement of this is an issue I need to deal with, but there's a lot of resistance because of the fear, I think, of exposure, of acknowledging that this has been in my life for a long time. And so it's, there's some acknowledgement, but is it to the place of acknowledgement where, okay, I know this is an issue and I've got to deal with it. I got to move past it. I think the fear is stopping that from happening.
Jim, I think what I'd be doing is I'd be letting her know how you're experiencing the way she's handling her side, in that you feel powerless. You know, you feel disconnected, you feel scared that this is going to continue. You feel alone in this issue. You know, I would be communicating that this is how I'm experiencing you handling you.
Okay.
So that, you know, it doesn't turn into a power struggle. It doesn't turn into manipulation or or more of the same, which is re-traumatizing this, you know? So you really want to show compassion and understanding for, you know, where they are and what they're struggling with. At the same time, let them know it's not just them. Because when we, you know, there's everybody's a narcissist when they're in pain, right? So all I think about is myself when I have a broken leg. I'm not really that mindful of anybody else. So when I'm in pain, it is very easy for me to blank out the rest of the planet. So I'd be doing a good job letting her know how your part of the planet's doing in this process and what you need going forward. So for example, you might say, I need to feel hope that this is going to change. And I need to feel cared for, that you'll be brave. And I need to feel your partnership. And I need to feel connected. I mean, I would be saying things like this. So here's my experience of you, and here's what I need to experience. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I did, you know, obviously I'm sharing about something personally for me. So it's, I did do some of that. Is this something in your experience that you have to go back and reinforce, even if the initial conversation, it wasn't okay, you know, I really know how you feel and how it affects you. But there's still that fear that holds them back, and there's some defensiveness and resistance to it. Is it something that you have to revisit and kind of, you know, like a dog after a bone kind of thing? No, I'm not going to let this go because this is a dividing rod, and I'm not going to allow that to continue.
Yeah, I mean, I would, I'd be sure to, you know, Kylo 5, you know, be powerful, choose love, keep connection your goal, be respectful in your communication, and honor healthy boundaries. But at the same time, I'd be speaking her love language every day as evidence that you've chosen connection, and, you know, keep bringing it up. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's some things that, you know, if this has been a pattern in her life for a really long time, and maybe you're just now tackling it in with this verbiage, you know, it might take a little bit of time to right that ship. You know, we've got to be committed to the cause of I'm not going anywhere. I'm choosing connection over and over again. And you'll make it, you know, your job to manage your half of this relationship really well, that you are proud of the investment that you've made, what you've shown up with, and that you've exhausted every option. I think that's how you get to stay powerful in this situation instead of feeling powerless, you know, and giving into that other side of fear, which is that, you know, they're not participating. So now I'm afraid. So I then partner with fear. I think it's what you can control is what I'd be leaning into. And that's very much what I'm hearing is how can you choose to be powerful given the situation when someone else isn't choosing to be powerful?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're the beacon of hope right now. You know, you're filling yourself with hope for this relationship, because that's the best play you can have, is I'm going to fill myself with hope, and I'm going to ask for encouragement from friends that I know that are going to help give me hope. I'm going to get into the word where I find hope, and I'm not going to let my beacon of hope die. That's going to be really loud, and that's what I'm going to keep bringing to this relationship. So,
yeah. And Jim, I think that it may be something that you address a few times a week. You know, I mean, maybe in the beginnings, you know, there'll be some tension because you're touching on a sensitive topic, and you know, she probably got some defenses around this that are no fun for you. And so you can say things, you know, like, ouch, if it hurts, or
yeah,
ugh when it's sad, or yikes when it's scary, you know, but stay in the game. And right. and in essence, be a leader in love by staying in the game, but letting her see you mm-hmm. and not get lost in her own pain.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Just one, maybe just one final question, if I could.
Sure.
So if, let's say, I do that and continue that and don't seem to get any traction, scripture says that, you know, there's a point where you bring somebody else in, right? So through that process, if it's not making any headway, at what point in time do you actually bring somebody else into it? I know that's often talking about sin, and I don't see that as this situation, but it's kind of the same in terms of how we're going to have breakthrough. If this isn't working, maybe we need to get somebody else involved. What would you say sure. to that?
Yeah. Do you have some people close to you that you trust and that you look to for some kind of input into your lives?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd be saying, honey, what are you going to do? And she says, well, I'm basically going to preserve what we've been doing for this long. And you say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for some help. You wouldn't dare say, oh, I need help. I'm going to ask for the help I need. I don't know what you're going to do. But yeah, this is how you would stay powerful. You're not exposing her, throwing her under the bus as much as you're saying, I refuse to live in the dark and the shadows any longer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to step into the light. You are more than welcome to join me, and or you can sit in the shadows. But like I said, I need some hope and I need some partnership.
Excellent. Okay.
It's great. Thanks great. So much.
Thank you. Was,
great question.
Yeah.
Jim.
It was a great yeah. question. And thanks for sharing. All right. I think that's a shalom.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Again,
yes.
That font gets smaller and smaller the further away that TV is.
It's true. Hi, shalom.
Hello. Okay. So my question actually isn't far off from his. I was going to ask, when your spouse isn't responding, because I've gone through the Kylo book. I listen to it sometimes on Audible over and over just to keep myself where I'm supposed to be. But how do you let God deal with the problem on your end if your spouse isn't ready to deal with it yet? Like if it's still so painful on their side that, because I'm kind of in that place where I'm either just forget it, we're never going to deal with this, or I need to figure out how I can get free, even if he's not ready yet.
You know, this is actually a very common situation that I help people with in family coaching, where there's one spouse that's ready for change, ready for an upgrade. The other spouse is, it's scary to leave the familiar. It's scary to leave what I've known and it's kept me safe, or what I feel was safe. Which you've got this unbalance going on of, you know, I want what I believe is for us, but it requires growth and change and honest conversations. And so, I think in like a coach, having a coach, whether you're going to the gym or on a nutrition plan or financial management, I mean, that's the fun part about family coaching, is that I get to help you in the, what are you going to do with you? Because that's the hard part, is that you get in there and you get distracted by them. And then you're like, I listened to all this great Kylo stuff and you should do this, 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 and this, and then yeah. we'll be better. And that's kind of the hard part, is that you hear and you receive all this great information and you want to see it activated in them. But in that desire to see activation, we almost push them away because we're just telling them about them instead of modeling this behavior. And with the coaching, again, it just helps, you know, having somebody you're checking in with that's accountable to, this is how I'm showing up. This is what I'm bringing to this situation. I'm not telling you what's wrong with you. I'm angry at you. I'm actually personally going and getting the healing and the help and the support that I need. and you can do whatever you're going to do, but I no longer feel stuck to your icky, muddy situation. I actually have this field that I live in that has flowers and that's fun, and I'm enjoying life because I'm not considering your problem my problem. So, you know, family coaching is one option, or really somebody that's in this process with you listening to this same stuff, that's another place I would go for that space.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, Shalom, I would just add to that. One of the big testimonies that we get in Kylo University is, you know, there's 16 weeks of people that come to this relationship training school. And as they're going through it, they're learning all this stuff. And you would think that they would then become everyone's teacher. But we tell them not to do that. We teach them, hey, put it to work in your own life, right? And what happens again and again and again is people begin to say, my family watched me transform and started coming to me and asking me what I was doing and what I was learning. And I don't know what you're learning, but the change that's going on in your life is making me feel safe, making me feel curious. We actually watched a couple who, I don't know how long they've been married, and I don't know how long the situation had been like this, but the husband says, because of the changes I see going on in you, I want to follow Jesus. And he ends up giving his life to the Lord, and he got baptized and all this stuff because they just, the wife just did the thing. She just did the stuff. She didn't become his teacher. She just did what she controlled, what she could control, which on a good day was herself. And she told herself what to do. She did it. And it made a big impression on the people around her.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, good. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. I think you're in the right spot, Shalom. It's just, I'm working on me. I'm working on me. I'm working on me.
Yep.
Be the best me I can be in my home, please. I can't say army, but you know, that's the rhyme that it goes with. But I think that's where you win. So, all right. Cheering you on for sure.
Great question. Thank you.
So good. All right. Mary, how are you?
Hi, great to see you guys. I have a question about dealing with my in-laws. My father-in-law has dementia. My mother-in-law is the caregiver. They are wonderful, godly people. They pray when episodes come up and there's confusion. So they're just a huge blessing. But it is that point where I'm asking my mother-in-law, what are you going to do? But I'm asking that often, and I'm not sure what she's doing. And then I'm trying to decide, is this her problem, or is it my or the collective family problem? So I don't want to enable her to stay in denial, but you can't force somebody out of denial because of the issues that are going on. So it's very delicate. Everybody is loving. There's no walls or fights or argument. Praise God. We just want to walk through this in the most loving way that that just covers everybody.
So let me clarify the question a little bit. Maybe I misheard, but you said that your father-in-law has dementia? Yes.
That's correct.
And your mother-in-law is the caregiver right
That's
now.
That's correct.
And so you're running into maybe the problem where you're scared of some of the decisions being made?
Or not being made, but yes.
Or not being made. Okay. Okay. For the well-being of father-in-law.
Exactly.
Okay. And wanting to know the balance between when you should step in or not.
That's it.
Okay. Have you tried, because Mary, I know you were in our school because you were in my group. Have you tried asking questions? How's that going for you?
Yes. we do that and she responds, it comes back to the let me vent all of my emotions.
Okay.
That's where it seems to hang. And so when I get to the point, what are you going to do? Do you want some suggestions? There's just still so much emotion because she feels overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's a pretty overwhelming situation though, right?
Exactly.
So there's going to be lots to vent. How long they've been married?
63 yeah. years.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. What is it that you identify as a problem that she has not yet identified?
That it's not going to get back to his lifestyle before the dementia came in. She's okay. She thinks that he'll get better.
Okay.
And yeah.
And there's doctors involved in all this, right?
There is. We all are joining hands, but still she's living in a lot of denial with it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, is it becoming dangerous?
It's close. Okay. We're long distance, so we don't hear and see everything. We did spend a week with them over Christmas, so we got to get a fresh update.
Well, so what would you say is your problem that you need a solution to?
I want to keep checking in and checking in and checking in. And I don't want to do her work for her. I know that she needs to do it, but I know she's not seen all of it yet. So I guess just because of the health issue, knowing how much do I hold back and that, or how much do I keep asking, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I would, you know, I'm just getting to know about this situation, but I would see you as maybe one of the key supports in her life that is a pretty demanding role that she has. And so I think that your role primarily is going to be to empathize, to encourage, to monitor maybe her health, her energy level, her, you know, give her feedback as to maybe how you see her gas tank and ask her questions about how she's doing self-care, because right. You know, that's probably the place you have the most impact is helping redirect her mm-hmm. to taking care of herself while she is in such an incredibly demanding role.
Yes.
And I would say that, you know, if something happens that it scares her and she comes to you because you've been that safe space, that's probably and she says, I don't know what to do. That's probably the place where you get to lean in with, can I tell you how I'm scared? You know, and you get to be more honest with her of, I think maybe it's time that we look at some different options if that's the next move. But it's probably going to be really hard to speak what you're afraid of and what you're seeing to someone that doesn't see it that way. So until right. that moment comes, you're just kind of being that consistent safe space for her. And then when she asks for that moment, because something might have happened, she trusts that your heart for her is mm-hmm. good, because you're not trying to control her from afar or dictate moves, but that you've been this consistent source of love and encouragement. And that when you go to share the scary and the truth, it's received in more of a place of love because of what you've built up in the relationship.
That's good. That's I'm on that track, but I have not considered telling her that I'm scared, you know, being ready that that might be something I need to say. So that's I really am tracking with that. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think if you can just help her see that there's a difference between hope and denial, you know, so that, you know, cause she wants to hold out hope. Obviously she's praying and she's carrying the faith. At the same time, there are decisions to be made based on what we do have, not based on what we hope to have. And so if she's not making decisions that she needs to make because of what she has, then that's when it gets scary and dangerous.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary.
We'll thank you so much.
Be praying for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Juliet, are you ready? Go ahead and
There you go.
Hi. Love to see familiar, beautiful, loving faces. Miss you guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
My question is, I'm a grandma and I have very close family time with my grandkids, 6, 4, and 2. My question is, because I don't know whether I created it or it's them, of course. And I love God so much. I follow you guys. You know me well. And I'm all for whole healthy family, even though now I'm living on my own. No spouse, no nothing. But I have this little people that I want to create, to infuse with kingdom and everything that is for God, right? You know that. So I'm in this tension where I have been told by my daughter, whose kids these are, whose mom these are too, that I'm not supposed to talk to them about Jesus anymore. Because ever since they were born, I've attended VSSM when the first one was born. It's all about Jesus, it's all about God and all of that. So I've been told, and I've been keeping this for the last year or so, when she first told me that, mom, no more talking about Jesus. I was so shocked because she was raised and I believe she's sealed with the Holy Spirit, but no longer practicing. Her partner believes in Yahweh, not God, not Jesus. So I didn't know all that until when so everything is Jesus. Something happens, the kids cannot sleep, the baby cannot sleep. Of course, what I sing is peace, love, hope, and all of that. So I'm in this tension where being with them, very, very close to them, they tell me everything that's going on now, because they can talk about when they're with their dad. My 4-year-old granddaughter said, Grandma, Daddy doesn't love God. Daddy don't like God. And then I go, I'm sad, I'm sorry. And then she's quiet, then she goes off to play. Another time she comes and say, Grandma, he says that God did not make me. I go, in my heart, it's like, I don't want to argue with this little innocent girl, because she will report back to Daddy everything. And I do not want to build up a wall that is already there that I didn't know was there. And so now I feel like I've been constricted or put in a prison camp, or like when I went to China, I'm not supposed to speak anything Jesus, nothing. If not, I'll be incarcerated. So when I'm with them, I try with all the principles that I'm learning and trying to practice is to be kind, loving, and empathizing with the kids and all of that, giving a listening ear whenever, however. But Jesus is so much a part of me. Like, I just cannot not speak Jesus. So my question is, how do, of course, it's like, they're the closest in my life right now, and I still feel in my heart that I want to impart everything kingdom and of God for them to face the world that is around them, right? And but not cause any further wall of incommunication to continue.
Yeah,
so
Julia, I go with Yeshua. Go with Yeshua. Run, Yeshua. Hallelujah.
He says, Danny, he says, Yahweh is good. I go, Yahweh is God. But then I stop because everything
yeah,
I say,
yeah.
he'll
Yahweh, go something. With Yahweh. I'm sorry. Maybe that's what I Yahweh. Go with Yahweh. Go.
Yeah.
Yahweh. Yeah. Go all the way with Yahweh. I would just, yeah, for sure. Just turn it all into Yahweh. I would not turn this into a power struggle. You have you have a wide open door. Run through it. Yeah, be your joyful, loving, hopeful self, singing about Yahweh. And if Yahweh made you, then that's how we go. And if she said, and the little girl, you know, she is very aware of playing both sides against the middle. So she's going to say things like, you know, my daddy said the opposite of what you said. What say you? You know, and she just, you know, she's just little. So say, I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. Just hit
I
her.
I ask her
hand.
That.
Yeah.
I ask her, what do you think? And she goes, and then she goes off to play. You know, like,
there you go. That's because she doesn't care. She's just trying to cause trouble. Don't you dare bite that hook.
Yeah.
Don't you dare bite that hook. It's a power struggle waiting to just knock you down the stairs. So Yahweh all the way. Get a bumper sticker.
Make one and I'll send it to you.
There you go. Wear your t-shirt. Yahweh all the way. All the way with Yahweh.
So you're saying that I just continue just with this open door that they've given me, that I can spend as much time as they want me to spend with them and just go with Yahweh, yet everything is Yahweh.
Yahweh.
And no need to make clarification. But how about this, Danny? When she was three, she has this big emotion. She climbed up and it took me a while to get her to understand that there is a God who loves her, who sees her, who understands her. That's how I got her to slowly open up. And that's why I think now we have a certain bond that I led her into giving her heart to Jesus.
Yeah.
So I believe that she has the Spirit of God within her.
Yeah.
Do you believe in that too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Just keep being you. Just do not power struggle with your in-laws. Do not do it.
Well, and remember the reality of that he's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Yahweh is it's in everything.
Yeah.
So you're getting stuck on the word Jesus, but Jesus isn't limited to just Jesus. He's got the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're all encompassing. And that's the beautiful part of when I'm yelling out Yahweh. Pretend like you're yelling Jesus,
yeah.
You know, I would
you
not
know what you're saying.
Don't be worried about the words, but, and don't dim what it is that who you are and represent, but run through the door. So the only limitations you're putting right now are on yourself because of the word, and God is so much more powerful than the word.
Yeah.
So I would not limit the open door you have. And all that you bring, because the Jesus is in you. So you showing up as the beautiful grandma that you are, the joy bringer, the fire bringer, the enthusiastic encourager, carrier of heaven. I can do all of that and look different in the grocery store and never say Jesus. So don't limit yourself to just the word. Live out your life. That would be my encouragement to you.
Amen.
Okay.
Ride
Thank
the
you.
Highway of
yes.
Yahweh. There you go.
Yahweh. Here we
Yahweh.
Are.
Come
Yahweh.
Come in your way, Yahweh.
I love it.
Awesome.
Thank you guys. Love
That's
you.
Good.
Okay. One more?
Yeah. Let's do one more. All right. Hannah M, I think.
Yes. There we go.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thanks so much for taking my question. I love your work. You guys are smashing it and just changing the world. And my question is about trust cycles. And I think there was a story that you told about a couple who, and you'd boiled down, you'd asked a lot of questions and you were chewing over and you got down to the what's the problem. And the what's the problem for this particular girl was that she had trust issues. And then at the end of this story, you said, so then we solved those. And I was like, but how? What did you do? My question is, once you've boiled something down and you know what the problem is and say it is something, for my case, definitely is trust issues that have come from parents that weren't maybe reliable and other authority figures that might have let you down. Like, how do you reset that trust cycle without the assurance of safety?
I'll just start with it really depends on who you're looking to for safety and security. You know, I think the insecurity is when we put our trust in the wrong source of security. That would be a foundation. So I'm not going to look to a person for my purpose, for my value, for my my love. You know, I have to bring all those things to a relationship, and that's heart God work. You know, I have to do my work with the Lord to bring enough security to where I'm not turning a human being into a source that only God can supply. So that's a foundation of my inner healing, is I'm bringing value, purpose, love with me to the relationship. I don't go to the relationship mall shopping for that. Okay. That's not where I'm going to get that. Now, in the relationship, the way that we build trust is we exchange truth. So this is where I begin to develop the courage to step into the light. As we were talking with Jim earlier, I was saying, okay, Jim, how are you experiencing her? And it, you know, I feel sad, I feel disconnected, I feel lonely, I feel powerless to make any changes here. So that takes a lot of courage, because typically what we want to do is we want to tell the other person about them. Like, well, you are inconsistent and you don't show up when you say you're going to, and you lied about this and that, and you. And so I tell you about you, and then I set us up for an argument, because now you disagree with 9 out of the 10 judgments I just laid on you. And now we're fighting over whether I'm right or you're right. And the whole conversation goes down the toilet, because I didn't tell you about me. I told you about you. So if we're going to begin to cultivate trust in a relationship, it starts with exchanging truth. And truth is what's going on inside of me that you don't know about, not what I think about you and your character and your actions. So that's the primary shift that has to happen if we're going to cultivate trust in a relationship, is I have to step into the light and stand still, and you have to learn how to hear that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go on to say, okay, and now here's what I need to feel. Here's how I'm experiencing you. I'm scared. I'm hurt. I'm sad. And here's what I need to feel. I need to feel loved and connected and powerful in our relationship. That is a simple but not easy adjustment. I tell the truth and you listen. Then you tell me what you heard me say, And then we make any adjustments to what I actually said and what you actually heard. And then we swap. Now you tell me about you. And I listen. And then I tell you what I heard. And then we make any adjustments that need to make. And that exchange right there is probably the most effective way I know to build trust going forward.
That's really good. And so what if that's in a dynamic, say for example, like a direct and easy example that I can give right now is, say I'm about to get a job with, maybe I'm about to get a job and I have been self-employed and been in charge of my own day and everything for like X amount of time. And then maybe you step into a job and you have an employer, and that is a person who is therefore in leadership over you and might not necessarily be as engaged with that communication process. Like, what would you do in those situations if you've been practicing that kind of communication to help to rebuild trust in relationships, but kind of similarly to somebody else's question, I guess the other person isn't necessarily engaged in having that level of discourse. What would you do then?
Well, if that's really important to you, then I think I would establish that before I took that job.
Okay.
Because, you know, they need to know things like, I'm happy to come to work and do all my responsibilities and help you look like a genius. At the same time, I need to feel powerful while we work together.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, our live audience, for joining us for the Kylo Show. We are super excited to have had you. And if you're just joining us, we did a live Kylo Show, which is super fun. But we are going to be praying for all of you and the questions that you gave us today. Beautiful. And just want to say thank you so much for helping us partner with the mission that whole healthy families are going to save the world. And we'll see you next time on The Kylo Show.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.